Welcome everybody to the Listen Up Podcast. It's your boy Brandon at Future No Dad 24.
This your boy Sam at More Life One.
Let's get it. Put it up.
Yo, happy new everybody, and welcome to the Listen Up Podcast. It's your boy Brandon.
This is your boy Sam.
Hey man, we back with another episode, man. I think this is the first one me and you have done since the new year. Actually, maybe the first one we've done completely since the new year, man.
Yeah.
So, but I guess before everybody, like as y'all signing in, man, if you have not hit that subscribe button, go hit the subscribe button, man, before we dive into anything. Please go in and hit it. If you're on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, wherever you see the episode, wherever you listen to that, pop on over to YouTube, hit the subscribe button, and you can continue streaming, man. Same thing if you only listen to the audio, you in your car, pull over to the side of the road or wait till you get to your destination, man, and then hit that subscribe button, man, on Apple and Spotify, man. So we appreciate all of those. We're definitely trying to get those subscribers up, man. So we definitely appreciate everybody hitting that button if you can. But shoot, Sam, I mean, Happy New Year, man. What's going on with you? What's been up?
Man, it's been crazy, man. COVID came back like Jordan the fourth, bro. So it's been one of those things. I think we had a family get together, dude. Everybody left the get together and everybody caught COVID. It was like the weirdest thing of all time, bro. Like it was crazy.
Fortunately, yeah. Everybody seems to be good on our front, man. We had like same thing, had a little family, whatever. Of course, you know, I went out of town for Christmas, man. We're trying to get out of the craziness that was happening, you know what I mean, in the city or whatever it is. I was like, let me go on a cruise, which may have been the worst place ever, but I ain't gonna lie, you know, we all came back healthy. And so, you know, I guess that's a good thing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. That's great, man. That's great. Woo, man. What a all season. FSU been packing up on the damn transfer portal. They've been hitting the transfer portal hard, you know, doing pretty good on that front. So where we gonna start? A transfer portal, Deion Sanders yesterday.
Let's talk about us first. You know what I mean? Let's talk about we'll get to Deion, but yeah. So the transfer portal, right? I think we all can admit after the season ended, we weren't feeling too good about the staff. We weren't feeling too good about Mike. We definitely feel too good about the team. We said, yeah, we've addressed the offensive line. Yeah, we got some DBs, but we were missing wide receiver. We still probably needed a backup quarterback, some offensive linemen, and we were in desperate need of wide receivers, right? So I think we looked at this and said, man, he's really going to have to show us something in the portal.
Yeah.
And he has. Now, again, I don't want to jump in as hard as I did last year with all the transfer portal people and everything like that, because I think last year we looked at it and said, man, Parson going to be number one for sure. I know you kind of had your, you know, trepidations or whatever about it, but I think you looked at it and said, but, you know, for me, I know – oh, Parchman going to be your number one. Good. We got a legit number one receiver. And I think we can look at some of the other positions and say, all right, cool. We got number ones around here. We got some playmakers, Jermaine Johnson and so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. But then when we looked at this last season, well, dang, you're losing Jermaine Johnson.
Yeah.
You're losing Kia Thomas. We thought, you know, we didn't know what was going to happen with Jamie Robinson, but thank goodness, because I actually count that as a, you know, a recruiting win too. You know what I mean? When I say you're getting Jamie Robinson back. Well, now you've added Jared Verse. In my opinion, I think that's a very good replacement for Jermaine Johnson. Mm-hmm. So I think you kind of keep that productivity up. I don't know if he can be as good, but I do think, like you said, you don't have him. He's not a one and done. You got him for at least two. You got him for at least 2 years, and he got 3 years of eligibility left. So now you say, all right, you got Jared Verse, you got Greedy Vance, you got Bethune, linebacker, the huge position to need because you need a middle linebacker.
Right.
So that allows, I think that actually puts some other players in their proper position now that you can, you know what I mean? Now that you got a legit middle linebacker.
Right.
Wide receivers, you've added three wide receivers. I don't know if any of them are number one. I think Span may be the closest.
I mean, you added three body types that you probably need in that room. You know, because you want your wide receiver room to look like a basketball team. You want your 6'5 guys. You want your 6'3 guys, your 6'2 guys, your 6'foot guys. You need your
speedy, quick guys.
Yeah.
In space. Yep.
So it looks more like a basketball team now, which is what you want it to look like.
Correct. Not to mention you expect improvements from you already got Helton. You know what I mean? You expect improvements there. You also expect improvements in freshman this year. Name just dropped from my mind. I'm reading those other names. y'all know what I'm talking about. Y'all, somebody gonna post it in the
And they say Winston Wright is about to get ready to maybe get ready to commit to Florida State. Kobe Noel dropping that like he always do.
Hey, I love it. You know what I mean? So again, you really are overhauling the room. And so what really made me think about it was, are we accounting these as recruiting wins for Mike? Is one of the questions I kind of had.
So this was going into the offseason, the plan was to get rid of a lot of dead weight off the roster, mm-hmm. right? Bring in the players that you had committed, which, you know, at that time, we know was, you know, we expected Mortimer, Travis Hunter, a few other guys that didn't come. Mm-hmm. And the idea was that you get those guys, put them in the system for a year, bring in a bunch of transfers with those guys to so that way they don't have to rush onto the field. So that way you're building, you baseline next year to 7 to 8 wins. And then a year after that, you take the big jump from 8 to maybe 9, maybe 10 wins, right? Mm-hmm. So I don't want to say you failed in a recruiting class. I don't think you failed. I just think you didn't hit the expectations, right? But you are hitting the expectations in a recruiting class. So you're doing good in one area, right? Mm-hmm. You know, I think you called me yesterday. You were talking about Kevin Coleman possibly coming to Florida State. And I was like, I haven't heard it. I don't believe he is. But, you know, we were talking about that. And I was telling you how I'm kind of more so resigned to what we are at this point in time. Far as 7 wins, 8 wins as we go forward. If you can get good production out of Deuce Band, mm-hmm. and you can get something, I think Verse will probably be good. I think if you can get something out of Verse, I think he'll be good.
Malik McClain was the guy I was thinking of. That's what I would think would take a bigger step next year.
Well, that's my biggest thing right there. You got to get something out of the guy that you've brought in here already, that you've mm-hmm. recruited and brought in here, right? You need Malik McClain. I ain't saying he got to be a 1,000-yard receiver, but he need to be at least a 40 to 50 catch 50 guy. 50
catch, yep.
50 catch guy. Mm-hmm. And at some point, you have to get something out of the guys you got here. You know what I'm saying? The defense, I think the defense is going to be – I think defense is going to be fine. I told you I got to see which quarterbacks come back from the draft. If Leary from NC State going to come back, I think the Wake Forest kid is probably coming back. He's only been there 7 years, so he probably come back and do another year. So they're doing good in the portal, though. They are doing good in the portal. So that does raise your floor. But I also need people to remember – we're not just trying to raise the floor on the field. We're trying to raise the floor in the practice room, too, because when guys got hurt last year, they wasn't getting good looks because the guys behind them wasn't that good. So I'd rather have these guys than not have them. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I guess that was my question. You know what I mean? Like, the reason what made me question it is, like, I don't want to give a pass for the fact that you're not bringing in high school talent, right? Because you should be bringing in high school talent. But at the same time, him understanding, I missed on these guys, so I got to get them in the portal.
Well, I think he was going to do that anyway, though. I think he was going to bring those high school guys in and attack the portal the same way. You know what I'm saying? Because you got to think about it. You have to develop past 23 and 24.
It adds a sense of urgency when you don't hit on those guys. So, yeah, you may be right, right? Like, I do think, yes, they would have absolutely went in the portal, but would they went as hard as they went at receiver if you bring mm-hmm. in Hunter? If you bring in Hunter and Coleman, you know what I'm saying? Do you go as hard in the receiver room?
Well, you still would have needed 2 receivers.
You would have needed 2. They got right now. You're looking at if Wright's on board, you're talking about 4.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And that's what I'm saying. Would they went as hard as they went if they were able to land some of the guys that they actually landed? Mm-hmm. So that's the only thing. That's why I say yes. I don't want to give them a pass for it, but you know, good job.
No, I don't think we're giving passes. I think they're doing a good job in the portal. I mean, correct. You can say that. Like, it's okay. They're doing a good job.
They have learned free agency, and I think we've seen it now 2 years in a row. They're able to identify some key needs, and then pick up the guy. Now, how they're able to do it, I don't know. I don't know the difference between what they're doing in the portal versus what they're doing as far as high school recruits, because it is different. But whatever right. their approach is in the portal clearly seems to be working. Because every time a name hit the portal, Florida State fans, you know, realize, okay, they're going to reach out to him. We hear they're going to reach out to him. And usually a few days later, he's at Florida State. So, right. man, they've done a very good job when it comes to attacking the portal and whatever their approach is, whatever their recruiting is. And I guess we got to thank Jermaine Johnson because we heard Verse basically talk about it, you know. Yeah. Jermaine Johnson reaching out to him. While not, again, he don't have any ties to Florida State other than the fact that he played here for 1 year. So right. the fact that Jermaine Johnson can go out and recruit for you, man, is a very big thing, man. So that's a good move by Mike Norvell to hey, let's lean on this guy. But at the same time, him just being willing to go ahead and step up, you know what I mean, and help you recruit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Winston Wright looked like he should be coming, so we'll get Winston Wright and we'll keep trucking along. You know, so I think they still need a, running back. I think
that's what I was going to ask you.
I think need a running back. I think need a running back. They need a quarterback, and I think if you can find another linebacker, because I do think Deloach is good.
I was gonna say I think Deloach, Gaynor, and
But we don't. They're never going to find a place to put Gaynor, which is aggravating. They're never going to find a place to put Gaynor. It's aggravating, but
it is. Yeah, but that's what I was saying, right? I think with Bethune at middle linebacker, but you should be able to find a place to put Gaynor.
But when people get injured, that's what I'm saying. You still need a guy behind them guys in case somebody get. Because we got to remember injuries play a factor in all this stuff. So you have to raise the floor. Got to keep raising the floor. So, you know, find you another linebacker. Yeah. If you can get your another DN, I still will look for another DN.
Definitely another DN.
Yeah. So, offensive-wise, I do think you're fine as long as you get a running back and a quarterback.
You need a backup quarterback and a running back. 100%. Right. Like, yeah. You need somebody who is going to push Jordan but not really take over. I actually want Jordan to keep the job. You know what I'm saying?
Like, I need somebody that got a starter mentality that wants to play, that's going right. to not only push the room. I want him to push the room. I want Jordan to be afraid to lose his job.
I don't necessarily want that. I don't want to be afraid to lose his job, but I want him to at least know that he's a legit quarterback. You know what I mean? Like right. I'm better than him, but if I play poorly, it may hurt me. You know what I'm saying? Like, but I don't want to, because again, this coaching staff has showed the bumble a quarterback room. Yeah. So in my opinion, I don't want anybody that's going to give them too much, like, thought. You know what I mean? Like, if it's going to be, well, 50-50, right. at this point, you know what I mean, they're going to make the wrong decision. Like, and maybe I'm, you know, that's me judging them too harsh, but right. in the past, they've shown, if it's 50-50, we're going with the one-legged quarterback who can't really move.
Well,
and we, let's you know what I mean? And so,
yeah, but I don't think they're going to do that. I don't think they'll do that again. I think you do got to bring in a guy that can. I think you got to –
Jordan's gonna get hurt. Just bring in a guy who can play behind Jordan.
Well, yeah. I mean,
Jordan's gonna get hurt. He gonna miss a game. You don't need that drop off like you had last year.
Right.
I don't. Again, I don't want. Find Jordan. You know what I mean? Find another Jordan.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Somebody who probably ain't going to the league, but it'll be a good college quarterback.
But let's talk about. Did you see the news about Florida State offered Juwan Snyder from Penn State?
No, I did.
Yeah, so Florida State offered.
Oh yeah, yeah, okay, yeah, yeah. I know what you're talking about. Yeah,
yeah. So Florida State offered Juwan Snyder from Penn State. Tried to poach him and get him to be co-OC. And I thought between that and the fact they beat out Tennessee for Verse shows me that there is a level of urgency and commitment that is going on at Florida State that I like to see. Because I think even though they did miss out on Snyder, and there's reasons why Snyder's not going to come, from what I understand, is he you know, first of all, Franklin's his guy. You know, Franklin just signed a big long-term contract at Penn State also, so the job security is great. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, family stuff, as far as, you know, he wants his kids to graduate high school and everything. So, but I still think the fact that FSU – acknowledges that they have a problem that they have to fix. So that's a good sign. And you did beat out Tennessee for Verse. And so that was a, you know, and we know how Tennessee get down when it comes time to get a player.
On the bags. Yeah, we already know.
Yeah.
I guess, so here's why I didn't necessarily, so when I saw you post about it and I heard you talking about it, I was like, I feel differently, right? So, yeah, I'm glad that they are committed from that standpoint. But right. I actually like Atkins as the co-OC right now. You know what I mean? Like,
no, it's just a title. It's a title. It's not I know what I'm saying?
I'm not trying to, in other words, I think you need to make Atkins feel special. You know what I mean? Like, if like, and I'm talking about for long term. You're not gonna keep Atkins, but you need to try and keep him as long as humanly possible. So if you the OC, just in name only, keep the OC in name only. You know what I mean? Because that way you can pay him at a different level. So when it's time for him to renegotiate, again, he has shown his ability to recruit and coach.
Right.
When it's time to pay him, pay him. You know what I mean? Like,
they have paid Atkins.
I know. I'm just saying he gonna come up for more money though. You finna get it? Like, he's gonna ask. He's gonna need more money at some point in the very near future. I'm just saying at that point, I don't want it to be, well, we splitting your salary between you and somebody else. Get that man all his money. And that was that's the only thing I looked at it from a standpoint of, I want to keep Alex Atkins as long as possible. And I know you're not gonna be able to keep him forever because good coordinators become head coaches.
Mm-hmm.
But man, if you tell me his salary is being split between, and again, it's not gonna be technically splitting the salary, but at the same time, when you tell him, you know, Florida State is, I don't want to say cash strapped, but you know, conservative with their coins, then don't get into splitting money. Don't get into splitting Alex Atkins' money. Split somebody else's money.
Yeah, but I get, my thing would be, you don't split the money. You know what I'm saying? You pay both of them. You know what I'm saying? Like, I told somebody.
But are they gonna pay both of them? I agree with you, but my point is you wouldn't
make that run at Juwan Snyder with that title if you're not willing to do the things necessary to grab that guy. You know what I'm saying? You wouldn't do it.
Okay, so then, my thing is, let me play devil's advocate.
Though. Go ahead.
Wouldn't you just overpay? Like, in other words, if you really wanted him, right? Because again, that's what we've seen, what's happening in the coaching market. They're just overpaying guys. In other words, I'm going to make you an offer you can't refuse. So when that's the case, if you really wanted Sider, why not just overpay it? Make him an offer that he can't say no to.
Well, that's what I couldn't get the details on the number that they offered him. I asked somebody about it, and they said they didn't have the exact numbers either. But I told him I would have gave him $1.5 million. You know what I'm saying?
If that's what it takes, we're going to pay you whatever it takes. If I would have really given him, And that's what tells me, I guess, you know, you're 100% committed. If you're 100% committed, then do whatever
it
takes.
There's no way they even got into a conversation with him without at least being $1 million, I imagine. It's no way.
I agree.
But it's the
same thing I was talking about with Hunter, though, right? Yeah, they committed, but they still feel like they committed to a point.
I thought, you know what's crazy, though? That move of Juwan Snyder should have been a move they made last year when I was saying they need to fire some coaches. And
they always a day late and a dollar short, though.
Yeah, I would have made that move a year ago because that was, in my opinion, that was the time to really make the move while you could, right? Because it's COVID and you got a chance to kind of get your first year restarted again. In my opinion, that would have been the time to do it. It was last year. When you're doing a rebuild, man, you don't need two good recruiters or one good recruiter, man. You need four.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Again, it's the day late and dollar short. Like, for whatever reason, it seems like they realize, oh, we made a mistake. Now let's fix it. Right. And then we're going to come up a little, like, again, if you're going to make this the move, make the move. Go all in and make the move. Don't half step it. You know what I mean? Like, go be fully committed. Be all in. And that's the thing I still think they're missing. They're like, it's almost like, you know what I mean? They're dipping their toe in the water. Like, we not fully in yet, but we getting a little closer. We getting a little closer. We got our ankles in. We ain't fully dove in yet.
I wonder how much the AD transition kind of held them up from doing what they needed to do in that situation. I kind of wonder that part. But, you know, at the same time, I don't think they've done – I think recognizing you got a problem is the first step. You know what I'm saying? And I think they recognize they got a problem. So I got to, you know.
Yes, recognize you have a problem is the first step. However,
forward-thinking
teams, like, foresee the problems before they arise. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, good companies, good programs, they see it before it happens. In other words, you forecast down the future. You know what I mean? Like, you forecast down the future.
Yeah. Yeah, you project.
You project. And if you see what's happening, like, again, I hate going back to Jimbo, but Jimbo was telling y'all, hey, landscape's changing. Nah, we good. No, dog, I'm telling you, the landscape's changing. You know what I mean? And so even with this, being late to the NIL, landscape was changing.
Yeah.
Deion is showing y'all, watch what I can do when the money's on the table.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, he wasn't behind the schedule. He's being forward thinking. Right. Like, and then smiling at y'all, telling y'all why y'all clowning him on scooters and all sorts of shit. He's doing exactly what we want our coach to do. He's doing what y'all wanted Cristobal to do for the Miami fans.
Right.
He's going in, taking the top players and telling y'all, come over here, I got you.
Right.
Come on, dog. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's crazy. You got to be forward thinking, man. And that was the reason why I blame Mike for all of them. Not, listen, I don't blame the players. Kevin Coleman, Travis Hunter, shout out. You know what I mean? I love it. HBCU.
Hold on. Before we get into that, man, while y'all are here, before we get into the Deion conversation.
Oh, no, I ain't even going to get into it.
We finna get into it. But, I mean, before we do that, man, y'all make sure, man, if you're on Twitter or if you're on Facebook, man, go to the YouTube, man. Please hit the subscribe button. I'm going to put the link in the bio. I don't think it even shows up on – it don't even show up on YouTube, which is weird to me. But – you know, I get it. By all means, please hit the subscribe button. Go to YouTube, hit the subscribe, hit the like button. If you already at the YouTube, make sure you hit the like button. Let's go ahead and go to the Deion thing, because I think this is weird with a lot of fans. For some reason, this is a weird thing for everybody. And that's the thing I think that's really kind of like, I don't understand why everybody is so like. It's almost like people want to demonize Deion Sanders for being a head coach and doing what other head coaches do.
Yeah. Yeah. Recruiters recruit. So I don't understand what you're mad at Deion for. You know what I mean? Like, Deion is doing his job. How could I be mad at Deion for doing what Deion is supposed to do? You know what I mean? It doesn't make any sense to me. This is what you ask coaches to do. Go and get the best players in the country. Don't make excuses. Go get him. Don't tell me where he was and his mama was Haitian, and so therefore he had to go to Miami. All the month, you know what I mean? All the random excuses that we make up for coaches that we like.
Yeah.
Stop with the excuses. You know what I mean? Go and get him. And that's what Deion's doing. Deion is not, I don't care where you're from in the nation. And and he's going to get others.
Right.
Shoot, you was in the chat this morning. You know what I mean? He finna get another one. Florida State fans probably aren't going to be too happy about the next guy he's going to get.
No,
but it's coming.
No, I just say it's just another guy that's out there that's in the 23 class that I would – it's just a guy
that he's
I would be concerned about. I would be concerned about.
You look
about,
at the list of people who, you know, who the teams who he had under his belt, you saw one name under there and it was like, oh, where did this name come from? Oh, man. Well, yeah. That's a wrap. Like, at this point, I'm basically – I'm treating them like Saban. You know what I mean? I'm treating Deion almost like Saban at this point. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, if he's in it, he might be
the team to beat.
If the kid visits the school, then you got to go ahead and say this could happen. It could happen. It's not crazy, right?
Listen, at this point, if a Jacksonville State hat is a Jackson State's hat is on the table, them other dudes better get shook. That's all I'm gonna say. Yeah. Like. When you called me, when he was like, yo, something's up. I saw the Jackson State hat on there. This finna happen. At that point, like, yeah, at this point, when you see that Jackson State hat, or you see Jackson State is also mentioned with the Alabama and Tennessee and all them other dudes, just understand, don't throw that one out there. That's not a casual visit.
Yeah,
money is. Yeah, they're talking business at those visits.
I see a lot of people dropping some questions. I'm gonna get to you guys' questions at the end. Okay, so just keep dropping the questions. I'm gonna start, and we're gonna get to them at the very end. Yeah, dude. So people got upset about the Deion thing again, right? And I'm like, so this is my thing, right? I think somebody said, well, would you want him at Florida State? Because that would be a dumb hire. And I told somebody. Now, hold on. I'm going to say this. Me and you talked about this last year. I was like, yeah, you can't hire Deion Sanders to be the fucking head coach at Florida State. That's insane.
Not last year.
That's ridiculous, right? Yeah. We said this, right?
Yep.
So, after I talked to Corey Fuller, me and Corey Fuller had a little conversation. We was talking and everything. Mm-hmm. And after that conversation, he kind of changed my mind a little bit, right? Because a resume should be everything you do. And he was like,
Deion is still Deion.
Right. Well, not just the Deion thing, but just any player, like Derrick Brooks, right? And if Derrick Brooks went for the head coaching job at Florida State, right? If he coached high school football for 3 years and then decided, hey, I want to be the head coach of Florida State, Should you laugh Derrick Brooks out the building? Because he's been a part of the NFL for almost, what, 15, 20 years? He's been around Money Kiffin, John Gruden, Tony Dungy.
He's seen it. Yeah.
He's been around a lot of great coaches and personnel people, right?
Right.
So it's not crazy, right, when you think about that. That it's not actually crazy to say that. Like, even like I think I put an example out. Do you think a college basketball coach knows more about basketball organization and structure than LeBron James?
I don't think so.
Some kid, like some human weird computer. I'm saying some weird kid that was at a videotape that's been in a videotape room for 15 years. You think he know more about basketball than LeBron James, who's played at the highest level? Again, you know, it's one of those things where I think that we're trying to say that, well, the coach has to come from the bottom, scrubbing toilets, work his way up. Wasn't he from the bottom when he was 7 years old working his ass off to become a pro?
See, the reason why we do that is because that's what we had to do, right? So it feels like, oh, nah, you can't just jump. You can't just skip steps. But I wasn't able to skip steps.
But we're dismissing the work that they put in to become a pro and the work that they put in.
You wasn't with me shooting
to perfect
in the
craft. Yeah, we were dismissing what they put in to perfect their craft. You know what I'm saying?
No,
so it's like. 100%. So, I told somebody, I ain't saying Florida State should hire Deion, but I'm saying that now that I look at all this stuff, I don't think it's crazy. I don't think it's insane to say, should Miami look at Ed Reed and say, could Ed Reed be the head coach at Miami? Is there a defensive guy in college football that knows more about defense than Ed Reed?
But you do. So I agree with you, right? But I think you still have to show, can you teach it?
Right.
And that does come along with it, right? Just because you know it doesn't necessarily mean that you can teach it, right?
Right.
And I think that's the trepidation, right?
But if they prove they can.
If
they prove it on a high school level, coaching high school football. Correct. Right? Do they not, you know, Florida State hired Jeremy Pruitt and he was just an analyst at Alabama?
Alabama hired him from a high school. Yeah.
But no, first of all, he was an analyst at Alabama. Then he was a high school coach. He was a high school coach, an analyst, a defensive backs coach. Florida State made him a DC.
Right.
I mean, that's kind of insane, right? Like, that guy hadn't played at a high level in football.
And coached us to a championship.
I'm not saying that Jeremy Pruitt didn't deserve the job. I'm not saying that. If you get a job, I've always said this. If you get a job, you deserve the job. I don't care.
Period.
That's how I am with all this stuff, because you get whatever you deserve in life. You know, whether we think it's fair, unfair, whatever, it is what it is. That's just not the way it works. So I'm just saying it's not insane that to say Ed Reed and these, some of these black football players that played in the NFL and played at a high level, it's not insane to say, now, can they teach? Can they structure an organization? Well, they need to prove that. But Deion said,
I think Deion is proving that right now. Right. At a lower level, he is at this point not only running his team. I think he's pretty much running that league. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's the loudest spokesman for it. He's brought notoriety and made the HBCUs across the country more relevant than what they have been. Again, my parents went to HBCU. So I have the utmost respect for him. But again, everybody doesn't have that same struggle and everybody doesn't have that same story, right? So for a lot of people, HBCU's been forgotten.
Right.
But then you look at it and say, well, Deion is now, like, when you call, he was like, yo, I don't know if I want to go to, like, the Florida State game, if I want to go down to Jackson State, if I want to go to Jackson State fam in Miami. And then yesterday he was like, man, Jackson State fam is like this. When that wouldn't have been the case, you know what I mean? Before Deion, even amongst people who respect the hell out of HBCUs. So now you look at it, the notoriety that he's bringing, man, it's, in my opinion, I don't see why Deion was not considered. I understand why Deion was not considered.
But as of today, I
would think anybody, Mike Norvell should feel real like, I better win some games immediately. Because I think Deion is making a full court press for his job. In other words, I'm gonna take, if he takes the next person from Mike, it's gonna ring a whole lot loud. It's gonna ring loud. You know what I mean? Like, in other words, it's gonna look like, okay, I got a personal target on this one.
Right.
You know what I mean? And maybe he does, right? Like, hey, in this point, it looked like Deion is absolutely trying his best to come after folks' jobs. I ain't going to say Mike specifically, but I think he's, in other words, I think he's showing, y'all doubted me. I'm going to prove to y'all, like, that right, I can do this on the big time, on the big time level.
It's a different thing because I think what he's doing, now, he could leave that job, okay? But that would be no different than any other coach taking a promotion to a bigger step, right? So I think people keep saying that, like, well what if he's going to leave those kids at Jacksonville State? Well, those kids can transfer, right?
And he ain't leaving them. Trust me, if Deion go, they coming.
Yeah, like, but my thing
I put on everything. We hear all the stuff that we talked about mm-hmm. them wanting to make SBCUs relevant and all that good stuff. What they know is we NFL players and we're going to be NFL players regardless of the school we go to. That's right. What they understand, right? They also understand they're going to be on TV even more now because of the notoriety and what we've done. So at this point, we getting the same looks that anybody else is getting. Right. But however, but they are there because Deion Sanders is there. If Deion right. Sanders up and leaves, you better believe he taking everybody with him. He grabbing yeah. everybody.
Right.
But Wyman Hunter Coleman is on their way to whatever school to whatever school grabs Deion Sanders. Somebody gonna get blessed with like a whole receiving unit along with their head coach. Trust me.
Right. Right. But you know the crazy thing is if you look at what he's doing for the HBCUs, like I guarantee the Celebration Bowl this year when he played SC State mm-hmm. was like the highest rated Celebration Bowl probably in fucking history. Okay.
Oh, it made new. It was like one of the highest rated games, period. Viewed.
Okay.
Games, yeah.
So you don't think they're gonna go back to those advertisers and say, hey, we're gonna need 100% increase in revenue for this bowl game? Well, that helps the whole conference. That might when they play in Miami this year, when they play FAMU and Jacksonville State play FAMU,
that stadium gonna be packed.
That stadium gonna be packed. And guess what? A lot of that money can go to all the HBCUs. All right. Mm-hmm. I think the next step, in my opinion, would be can Chad Johnson and LeBron start doing the same thing for FAMU, right?
I guarantee you LeBron will be down there in Miami.
Well,
for that game. It, you know, I LeBron, guarantee you he's going to be on the sideline.
He started the FAMU Nike clothing line.
Right.
So my thing is if you get LeBron doing the same thing as far as getting players for FAMU, and now you watch that bowl game in Miami – you watch that game in Miami, you say, oh, shit, we got 12 NFL players on this field, and we got 8 blue chippers on the field, okay? Now we talking something totally different now because now we're not watching a lower level of football anymore. You know what I'm saying? Now we watching.
Well, you're not watching a lower level.
Now we watching Kentucky versus Iowa. You see what I'm saying?
You're not watching a lower level of football as it pertains to Jackson State. But the mother dude, like, here's the thing. He'll smack the hell out of the mother teams.
Well,
like,
but I'm,
you know, right. Like I hear you.
No, but I'm saying, but if you
that
if
receiver you, core is no, gonna be stupid my, compared my point, to what they're going up
is,
against.
But my point is, if people like LeBron James,
oh, I see what you're saying. If they can do what they do what Deion's doing for fam, right.
So if they can put eight NFL players on their team, and Deion got 8 on his team,
right?
Now we looking
right,
at something
right,
that's almost like the ACC versus each other. You see what I'm saying? So which shit. Ain't which?
I would argue that they probably beat what you know what I mean beat a few ACC teams. If you got 8 NFL guys on both on what's his name, you playing a different brand of football at that point.
Bro, I was talking to somebody and they told me this. They say, bro,
just lost to Jacksonville State for the record.
I was talking to somebody about this and they said, bro, do you not know that when Eddie Robinson was really putting out players that when his in his prime. He said, mm-hmm. bro, did you not know that that team had more pros on it than what Alabama did when they was winning national championships? He's like, that Eddie Robinson in his prime team would have actually beat Alabama, Oklahoma, Texas, any of those teams that was winning back then. They would have beat them. And Bear Bryant knew it.
They were Hall of Famers on that team. Like, they Hall of Famers on the team.
Hall of Famers on the team, right?
Yeah. No, you had legit NFL guys. Not just, you had, like, just fringe NFL players. Yeah. No, you had Hall of Famers on them squads. Yeah.
So, like I said, it's not insane. It's not insane to – so like I told somebody, would I have hired Deion last year? Probably wouldn't have.
Nope.
But guess what?
I'll take him next year.
I have decided to change my train of thought on this and say it's not crazy. It's not
it crazy. Not being crazy, it may be better. Listen, man, if you – two guys went head to head for the number one recruit in the nation, one on one, and one of them is not our head coach, and we at the bigger school. Right. Man, you say what you want to say. Same thing with Kevin Coleman. You know what I mean? Miami, Deion has at this point stuffed two ACC coaches in the locker.
Yeah.
At Jackson State.
Yeah. Okay. I mean,
Mike better win. I called you yesterday. I said, every time he pull one of these guys, it makes the seat a little hotter for Mike. That's what I told. I was like, listen.
I don't think it does. I think
it makes the seat a little hotter for Mike, bro.
I think what it is the powers to be do thumb their noses up at people like Deion, right? And it ingrains them, it makes them dig in deeper, you know, and try to justify what they did. So I don't think
these cats want to win, though, man.
Man, I don't think it'll ever get to that point because, to be honest with you, dude, I think what's gonna happen though is he said, Deion also said something else. He was like, they asked him about scheduling against bigger teams. He said, why would I do that? So he was like, I just want to dominate on this level, on this particular level. So I think it's possible that he could do that, keep dominating on this level for 2-3 years. And I think the other teams will get better. And, you know, in SC State, man, they got good players there. So my opinion is a rising tide brings all boats up. You know what I'm saying? So it's okay. So, you know, I think it makes all of them really good. And they said 1974 Jackson State. Hold on, put this over.
Future
NFL Hall of Famers. Yeah, man. So it's not crazy, but I think the next step. I think the next step he got to do is he got to start taking some fringe, 3-star, offensive linemen. He need He need one big blue chip offensive tackle, and he need like some fringe 3-stars, some guys that would be like in the back half of a class of like a Miami or Florida State, like a 3-star.
Oh, guy. He gonna get him.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But that's the next step is you got to take some of those big guys. Mm-hmm. And then once you get those big guys, that'll bring all that together. Then you'll see something. Then you'll see something kind of magical. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I think that's where he's at on that.
Shout out to Deion, man. Shout out to Deion, man. Continue grinding. Listen to me. Watch what I tell you. If he go out there, he win a championship this year. Make it look good, and Florida State struggle. I'm telling you, weirder things have happened. I tell you that much. It'll be a whole lot of swallowing of pride, and people be talking. Especially if he put together, you know, he can grab a couple more big time players. You know what I'm saying? So, I don't know. We'll see. But listen, man. Before we move on to the next topic, man, hit the subscribe button. If you're on Facebook, you're watching on Twitter. Hit the button, man. Click the subscribe button, man, below. Make sure you do that. Hit the like button as well. Thumbs up. It makes it easier for us to be tracked when people are looking for Florida State Podcast. So we definitely need y'all to continue to hit that button, man. But
y'all keep dropping comments, man. I'm gonna get to all these comments in the back half of the pod. Don't worry about it. I am gonna get to all these comments. I'm starting them as we all, you know, drop stuff. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, so you want to get into the national championship game, or you want to talk about, you know,
national championship game. All
right. So national championship game, right? I guess if we look in the semifinals, I think it all turned out exactly how we thought, in my opinion, right? Like, I think we figured Georgia had been the best team all season. Alabama was gonna walk since it. It's just two different brands of football. Mm-hmm. And I think Alabama realized super early that they weren't gonna, you know, Cincinnati can't beat us, I don't care what they do.
Right.
So in my opinion, we ended up with an Alabama-Georgia game. I guess I'm going to ask you, who do you think Alabama wins this one like they did the first game?
So, I usually don't like to read the rematches. I always think the team that lost,
has the advantage.
If it favors them in the rematch.
Yep.
The problem is, this is the problem.
it's still Alabama?
it's Nick Saban, right? Yeah. He is the greatest coach of all time. It's not close. I found a stat and I posted it. It was like he's been there 15 years and played in 9 national championships, which is stupid. Like, how do you do that? You know what I'm saying? So I think Georgia still has the better team. But the problem is Bama has the better quarterback and the better coach.
So you go with Bama.
So I'm gonna go. I pick Georgia to win the whole thing to start the year off. I'm gonna still pick Georgia to win the whole thing to start the year off, but I don't feel good about it. I don't feel good about it. I can tell you how I think Georgia can win the game if they're gonna win it.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, that kid clearly cannot throw outside the numbers. All right, he throw outside the numbers is Pick City. Bama baited him a lot in the middle during the last SEC championship game, and they picked him off a few times in the middle of the field. I honestly believe they need to put George Pickens in the slot with that tight end, the other tight end in the slot too. And they need to just try to create matchups and wheel routes on the outside to try to give him some easy looks and easy throws. All right. They have to find a way to get vertical on Bama. But they also need to run the football. They need to, like, even if it's a yard, 2 yards, 3 yards, Georgia needs to just keep pounding the football. They need to try to bully Bama. They need to do their damnedest to bully Alabama on offense. They have to control the football. They cannot go three and out. They cannot turn the football over. You know what I'm saying? They have to find a way to do that. And can you do that? I think you can. But the problem is, if that quarterback gets hot on you again, you're going to be in trouble. But they got to find a way to control the football and bully Alabama and put the game in the box. Because as good as Will Anderson is, and he is good, man, you got to try to run at him, man. You just got to. You gotta try something. Because I just and it's hard for me because I be looking at Kirby and I be like, dude, you got two big 6'5" quarterbacks that can throw the ball to the outside and you won't put him in the game. It's one of those things where I don't understand it. To understand it,
coaches.
He's all into that mighty walk-on thing, and I don't understand it, dude. I just don't get it. I just don't get it.
I'm actually so. Florida State played Florida twice.
Was that 97, right?
I think it was 96.
96.
Florida State killed him. We beat the shit out of their quarterback. I mean, just every play he got hit, he was on the ground. We heard Spurrier cry about it. It was a whole bunch of stuff. So, as a Florida State fan, we go into the national championship game thinking, we just saw what these two teams, how these two teams look against each other.
Right.
And we saw the complete opposite. Because now, there's another good coaching staff on the other side who's going to say, oh, okay, I see what y'all did. Makes sense to me. Y'all are better in these areas. Y'all are showing where y'all better than these areas.
Right.
Now we're going to counter all the areas that you are better than. We can counter those.
Right.
So we're going to have Danny Werfel line up 10 yards behind the ball. We're going to treat every play like it's a punt. You know what I mean? Y'all won't never get there before we have a chance to get rid of the ball. Well, that makes a huge difference in the game if that quarterback is now super protected.
Right.
And so that's what I'm saying, right? Georgia has the advantage of being basically getting their ass whooped. So everything is wrong. You know what I mean? Listen, they beat us here. They beat their receivers. Everybody was open. We played poor coverage. Everything that was wrong. Not to mention, you have a team who is very good. Like I heard, you listen to those Bama guys talk. You got dogs on that team. They was disgusted by giving up touchdowns this season. Yo, I can't believe we gave up 3 points to these sorry ass. You know what I mean? Like Georgia. Yeah, Georgia.
Yeah.
Georgia was like, you know what I mean? They talked about how they were pissed off by giving up points.
Right.
So you better believe they coming in with a different mindset. I actually think Georgia's going to win this game. I think it's going to be, I don't think it's going to be easy because Alabama just don't seem to get blown out very often. But I do think Georgia can look at some of the mistakes they made and say, got it. This is what y'all took away from us. Can y'all do it again?
I think this is where Saban's NFL experience matters, right? Because in the NFL, you play teams twice and sometimes three times if you make the playoffs, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think he can look at it and say, let's make a minor adjustment here. Let's change a look here. Let's change a look there to give them something different that we watched them struggle with in the first game, right? So it won't look the exact same as it did the first time. It'll look different. I think that's where his NFL experience comes into play. And I think, and not only his NFL experience, right? Doug Marrone NFL experience, right? Bill O'Brien's NFL experience, right?
I
You see what I'm saying? Like that's,
they got all the damn head coaches on this team. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You got former NFL coaches that have been in the playoffs. You know what I'm saying? So that makes a difference because they can make those adjustments on the fly a little quicker than what your college guys can do it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think Dan Lanning's a good coach. You know, but is he Dub or on a Bill O'Brien? You think he can match Bill O'Brien? I mean, I don't know. I'm not saying he can't. He might be a wonder kid.
I'm saying he's never done it.
He hasn't proven that he can do that. So I'm saying
time he had the opportunity, he was
they got right. Stuff. And I think when you playing against the Muschamps, I think Muschamp is a good defensive mind. I think Kirby's a good defensive mind. I think Lanning's a good defensive mind. But in NFL, Doug Marrone and Bill O'Brien went against a lot of good defensive minds. You know, they play like Urban Meyer said, we play Alabama every week.
Yo, Urban was so shocked. Everybody's good.
I ain't got no
Duquesne on the schedule this week.
Where is the give me win at? You know what I'm saying? Where's the get right game at?
Urban being shocked. Yeah, Urban being shocked that everybody was good in the NFL was funny, boy.
So I think that is a key of all of it, right? Because they have three guys that are used to playing teams over and over again and teams making small adjustments within the game to change the game. I don't know if Georgia has that, right? I think they are a good coaching staff.
For sure.
I don't know if they on that level of elite, and I don't know how much adjustments can Georgia make within their offense or their defense, right? I don't think they're as flexible on the outside with DBs, right? I don't think their DBs are that great. I think Cincinnati actually had better DBs than Georgia did. Right, I think that's why Cincinnati was able to do different things in the Alabama game. That if they would have had an offense, it would have been a better game. You know what I'm saying? If their quarterback was better, they would have had a better game against Alabama because their DBs are able to man up on Alabama's wide receivers and not have a problem. And then once you can man up with the wide receivers, you can put safeties into the box. You can slide this guy here and slide that guy there. So it's all about it's a numbers game. I don't know if Georgia can man up on the outside with Bama and dictate terms, which is crazy to say that. It's crazy to say Cincinnati got a better cornerbacks than Georgia. But if you look at the draft this year, they got two DBs that's going in the first round. So the NFL believes they're better. You know what I'm saying? It's not me saying it. The NFL believes that.
True.
So how many adjustments will your personnel allow you to make? I don't know if Georgia personnel will allow them to make the adjustments they need. And I think that's the problem.
I agree. I do. But I don't want to be prisoner of the moment, right?
Right.
I think we looked at, outside of the Alabama game, Georgia has looked like the best team all season.
Right.
Consistently, week in and week out. And I think there's something to that when you've been the best team we thought we've seen all season.
Yeah.
I think Alabama can get on you, and they can get on you quick and get out of hand. And then you put all those, you know what I mean? You put all, like you said, all those NFL coaches, they're not the type that's going to, you know, let you – we ain't blowing leads. You know what I'm saying? Like, in other words, if we get up on you, we going to figure out that this work, we're going to just keep doing it. Mm-hmm. It's going to be consistent, and it's going to work. So, I agree with you. They got the coaching advantage. Top to bottom, Alabama has coaching advantage. They may even have the advantage in certain position groups.
Right.
But I still think top to bottom, Georgia is a better team than Alabama this season, a minus maybe a few areas. Quarterback being one of that. And the quarterback is one of them, right?
Right.
So, in my opinion, I look at Georgia and I say, I'm not going to take away from the fact that you lost to Alabama. Everybody loses to Alabama.
Yeah.
Let me see if Alabama can do it twice. Can they get up on you again for a second time? And I'm not sure if they can.
Right.
Because I do believe Georgia is, in my opinion, the better team. So I do think quarterback makes a big difference, but I still think Georgia's the better team. I think they have been all season. I've seen Alabama struggle with a lot of teams this season. Again, Cincinnati, like you said, Cincinnati's defense look good. Now, again, Cincinnati has good cornerbacks, and so that does make a big difference.
Right.
I mean, they were bragging about how they was able to shut down some Alabama wide receivers.
Right.
Okay. I mean, let's see what adjustments Georgia makes, because I agree. Their staff's not the same, but I do think they've looked at it and said, all right, we seen what you got. Y'all hit us with y'all best shot. Do y'all have another one?
Yeah.
And it's going to be it's tough, man, to knock out in what most have considered to be the best team twice. You got to do it two times, and that's tough to do, man. That's really tough to do.
It is tough. It is tough, man. But, man, I just – if anybody's going to do it, it's going to be the Bama team with that staff. You know what I
agree. And it's crazy. I mean, I'm not going to be surprised if Alabama wins by any stretch.
And it's one of those things where I look at it like, okay, well, if Georgia – if Bama didn't have Doug Marrone and Bill O'Brien, two coaches that's won games in the NFL playoffs, I might go ahead and pick Georgia. I would say Georgia would have a better chance. I don't know if college coaches, even elite college coaches, can make the adjustments in game and before game, you know, that guys with NFL experience got. Because you basically, you got to think about it. Nick Saban sitting at a table. You know, he's basically sitting at a table with Doug Marrone, Bill O'Brien, and all three of these guys have coached NFL football at a high level. They've used to playing teams two and three times in a given year, right? They used to have a division opponents that's good. They're used to making in-game. So now when they formulate a game plan, they're putting in a shitload of adjustments that they know they can make. You know what I'm saying? And I think personnel allows you to make adjustments. So do Georgia have a personnel that's going to allow them to make the in-game, and can the coaches see it before it happens to make these in-game adjustments? I don't know, but man, it is interesting, because I low key kind of feel like the game ain't gonna be a great game. That's why I low key.
You think Alabama? You feel like Bama gonna just roll them again?
I don't know if
it's
gonna be. I don't know if Bama gonna roll them or Georgia gonna roll Bama, but I feel like somebody's gonna get rolled, because I think somebody's gonna be very surprised, and them kids are gonna be very shocked by what they see. And by the time somebody adjusts, the game gonna be over. That's how I feel. I don't know why. That's just the feeling I'm getting. I'm getting this feeling of somebody's going to get shocked, and they're not going to be able to bounce back. It's going to be a game's going to be over before it gets started. We're going to be sitting here looking like, why do we keep putting these rematches, and why do we keep putting these teams together? But let's get into another conversation, since we already here. We got like, what, 9 minutes? Man, does Saban retire after this, dude? Like, if he wins back to back, because I'm gonna say this:
Saban ain't going nowhere. Saban gonna keep kicking our ass until he decides he don't no longer feel like kicking our ass.
But you know what's crazy?
And ain't nothing that I've seen from Saban say he's tired of kicking our ass.
It was crazy the year that he beat Georgia in 2017, I think it was. I think it was 17. I said, man, that's the best coaching job Saban's done, right? Because he won a national championship with like five true freshmen, right? So I was like, oh, that's the best coaching job he's done.
Benched his starting quarterback for the backup in the middle of a game, bro.
Right, right. So
has that much? Hold on. Like, think about it for a second. I just want to like talk about Nick Saban for a minute.
Yeah.
What coach do you know has that level of like swag and confidence to be able to look at your starting quarterback and say, Pimp, you ain't getting it done. Go get me buddy off the bench.
Yeah.
In the national championship game, bring him in cold, and then that leads to you winning. Mm. Come on. Like, you know what I mean? Like, this is – he ain't going nowhere. He ain't going nowhere, and he gonna keep doing it, man. Like, it's tough, man. When you look at just what he has done, like you said, nine championships, 15 years. He's played in nine of them, bro. Like, at this present moment, why would he leave?
He hasn't had a recruiting class since his LSU days that hasn't won a national championship.
They don't know what it's like. They don't even know what to do with a Florida State season.
There's levels to greatness, and then there's like him. Like, it's like I think what Saban said, like, once you climb the mountain, you become the mountain. Well, he is the mountain. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's not at the top of the mountain. He is the mountain.
He is the mountain. Yeah. You're trying it's to insane. Climb him. Yeah.
Yeah, it's insane what he's done, dude. I just do think that if he wins this year, man, I mean, he will win this year and basically leave a great, great program there, because the guy, everybody on the team is coming back. Mm-hmm. I mean, I just don't think he got. I don't think he's gonna keep coaching, man. And then, so with that being said,
you sound like wishful. These are wishful thinking.
These are wishful thinkings. But with that being said, I would say that people keep talking about expanding the playoffs, and I know you was a big proponent of expanding the playoffs. I am
definitely a proponent of expanding the playoffs.
Yeah. Does expanding the playoffs change the results?
Yes.
You think so?
It gives you more options to lose, man. Sometimes styles do make fights. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, there's certain teams who may give a team a run who don't necessarily, who is not as good. You know what I'm saying? Like, matter of fact, Cincinnati and Michigan probably would have given a better game than Georgia and Michigan. You know what I'm saying? Like, and you had, like, if you expand it, you can end up with some weird scenarios of Cincinnati, Michigan, of Oregon, who else? Oregon, Oklahoma. You know what I mean? Like, those are two fast-paced offenses who pretty similar in style. So you expand it, you can end up with some pretty weird matchups, and I think you end up with better games. Now, again, the final game still may end up Georgia, Alabama.
Yeah.
I don't think that changes that, because Georgia and Alabama were the two best teams.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So, but I do think you end up with some fun. You end up with some better games. That's just my opinion. I'm only talking about from the fun of it. I don't think it actually changes. I don't think it actually exchanges the who. I think you still end up with Georgia and Alabama. You put Georgia on one bracket. You put Alabama on the other bracket. Those two still gonna probably kill the bracket. But I do think you end up with some pretty fun matchups.
Yeah,
just my opinion.
So I think Georgia. I don't think it changes anything. As a matter of fact, I think it watered it down even more, right? So now, this is what I will say. Until Saban retires, it really don't matter what you do, right? Because even if you put him in a tournament of 12 teams or 15 teams, you're giving him an opportunity to lose two games in a regular season, make the playoffs, and now he's playing an NFL-style playoffs, and he's going to win that, right? I mean, he's going to out-coach.
I don't think anything college football does at this present moment, unless Nick Saban has like just missed recruits and ends up with a bad team.
Yeah, imagine that. Imagine him misevaluating players.
Right. Like, he have like a sleepy season or something. Yeah. He's sick or something like that and didn't go really recruit like he felt like it. Like, right. You know what I mean? The outside of that, you know what I mean? That year Auburn gets good, you know what I mean? Because Auburn, for some reason, play Alabama. That's what I'm talking about, style, make fight.
Yeah.
Auburn seemed to play Bama good every single year, regardless. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, if in that case, you know, you might end up with something like that. But for the most part, no.
Yeah. So, but I think if you retire, maybe it opens it up a little bit more, you know. But the only reason they even want to expand these playoffs is to stop all the opt-outs. They want people to stop opting out, and they want people to care about these bowl games. And that's the biggest thing that's going on right now. But then on the other side, they don't want to have these at-large bids. They want to get rid of the out-large bids so all these SEC teams and the Big Ten teams who are spending more money than everybody, Big Ten and SEC spending more money than everybody, can get as many teams in as they want. I don't think it's going to be what people think it's going to be. I think it's going to be the same power teams in the playoffs. Add in USC, add in Michigan, add in Penn State, add in Texas A&M, add in LSU, add in Bama, Georgia.
They're still playing each other in these New Year's Six bowls. They're just pointless, and that's all I'm saying.
They want to make them.
Right. If they playing each other anyway, play for a reason, or at least a pretend reason, but still a reason. You know what I'm saying? And that's all I'm saying. They gonna play each other. Them New Year's Six bowls is the top teams. Those same teams outbidding and playing each other.
Yeah.
How can we get the best matchup of the most teams that's going to bring the most revenue to our city? Cool. You playing that game anyway.
Yeah.
Might as well make it as a playoff game. That's all I'm saying. Make them as playoff games.
Yeah. Well, let's get to these questions. Hey, man, while y'all here, man, please drop your questions. Make sure you go to the YouTube channel. Make sure you hit the subscribe button, hit the like button. I'm actually lining up some pretty good guests for the offseason, man. I think I got two former players might be coming on, and I got some people from some other podcasts and some other networks coming on also. So make sure you hit the subscribe button. We're going to kick this thing into high gear coming in this year. All right, Jonathan Adams, let me go to him. Would we or can we now consider, I don't know who that is, but Deion one of the best recruiters in college football? It's a difference between recruiting from HBCU, cherry picking your guys, than recruiting at an Alabama, Georgia, FSU, Miami, where you got to really beat out some really top teams year in and year out to put together a 23 to 25 class. I think he's a good recruiter. I think he's a great recruiter at the level he's at. But it is different recruiting at a Georgia, Alabama, Florida State when you got to go against Jimbo, Saban, Kirby. It's a you gotta think about it. Deion is kind of sneak attacking these teams. You're not hearing a whole lot about these kids going there. It's not a lot of smoke. And basically what you're seeing is him like keeping it on the low so he can't be negatively recruited against. And then all of a sudden on the day of the signing day, the kid picks him. So these schools don't even know he's recruiting against them. So I know for a fact, and I think I shared this with you, that Deion wasn't concerned about beating out Florida State for Travis Hunter. His biggest concern was Georgia. Mm-hmm. And it's why he kept the whole Travis Hunter thing so quiet, because he didn't want to be actually into a back and forth with Georgia. You know what I'm saying? So
in a bidding war.
Well, bidding war, the sales pitch is different when Georgia's recruiting against you. You know, he felt like he could beat Florida State out for Travis Hunter. You know what I'm saying? So it's different when everybody know who you recruit. You know what I'm saying? Right. When a kid come out and say, these are my three favorites, Jackson State, Texas A&M, Bama. Can he recruit against that? Or is he going to keep sneak attacking teams? I mean, right now and I don't have no problem how you do it. I'm just saying it's a little different when you going head to head and everybody know what's going on. You know what I'm saying? He's kind of keeping a lot of this under the wraps.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No, the simple answer is no. just because, like you said, right, you got to put together a whole class. If he had put together, he had gotten 3 4-4 stars, you know what I mean, outside of Travis Hunter, he had gotten, you know, several other three. In other words, he had had a top 10 recruiting class at Jackson State, then I'd have said, yep. Like,
if he just put together a top 35 recruiting, 35.
Yeah, even, he would have been top 35 even. Yeah,
that means I think right now he's at 55.
Okay, so he better than Miami then. but I mean, shoot, 55 is high. But if he had put together top 35, he had passed Florida, you know what I mean? Then at that point, you got to consider, you know what I mean? Because at Jackson State, that's still tough. And even 55 is tough at Jackson State. But
we've seen good recruiters, so-called good recruiters, go to a bigger school and can't recruit.
I think, and again, it's like what you were saying with Corey Fuller, and we heard Corey Fuller talk about it. Deion is still Deion. Yeah. Like, you got to think, like he said, the parents who living rooms he's walking into now are my age. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Which means that he's walking in the living rooms with kids who know Deion.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, prime time Deion, they were there for all of the NFL glory. They've seen him. So now you're looking at that Deion and you're saying, all right, you got to go in there. You got to follow up what I just did.
Yeah.
At this point, Deion just walked in my family house.
Yeah.
I'm going to wherever Deion, whatever. At this point, if I'm the father, shoot, I'm looking at Deion. You know what I mean? I'm looking at my school completely differently. Now, I don't care what school we plan on going to.
Yeah.
Deion just walked in my living room.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at my son like, man, you know what I'm saying? Deion just showed. You know what I mean? It's Deion is still Deion. I think that was the point Fuller was making. And that's why I know he's not, but I think he get a big time program. You might see some wild stuff happen.
Yeah. So the next question, get that one off the board. You think we need another tackle? I think if a good one comes available, you take one. But I don't think you need a tackle.
I was gonna say need is the key word. Do they need one? No. But I mean, you can't never have too many tackles. Just right. You know, yeah. If another one come available, you see one, you can get them. Then get them. If nothing else, but for death purposes.
Yeah. Although I got somebody said, let me answer this question.
I saw that.
Jackson State is a good story, but what happens when kids realize there's nothing in Jackson, Mississippi? Jackson, Mississippi is one of the deadliest cities in America. I'm going to say this. Clemson, there's nothing in Clemson, South Carolina.
Shit. I've been, I, boy, You know what's funny? I'm glad you said that. I was headed to Virginia to take my goddaughter to college, right? Yeah. And so we passed Clemson. And I was like, nah, that ain't Clemson. It was like a sign. It said Clemson University this way. It wasn't nothing there. Like, yeah. It was like a gas station. It looked abandoned. Like, ain't nothing in Clemson, South Carolina.
Yeah.
I mean, ain't nothing.
Yeah. Yeah. Nothing there.
You would have never known you had rolled up on a city that had a college. Like, when I saw the sign, I was like, no. And then you, like, pass it on the highway. I'm like, oh, okay. Wow. All right. So it's literally in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah. 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 There's nothing there. So I wouldn't, that's not a, you know, and for the record, every city and state apparently in America is deadly now.
COVID, I agree with you. I mean, listen, the argument, what he's making though, is the same thing my dad has kind of said, and this is the thing. My dad, should I live 50 minutes reclaim my time better? Right. One of the things my dad did point out was you still are at an HBCU level of program. So the facilities are not going to be the same. The travel is not going to be the same. A lot of some of the other things. And those are things that they may end up missing. You know what I'm saying? And that's the part that I think they're not necessarily looking at.
But don't you
the
think
campus of Florida State is going to be different than the campus at
But don't you think that
cafeteria, meal room, prep.
Don't you think about Dion's what? Next year they're gonna have most of that stuff in place. They're gonna have the travel, the good travel amenities in place. They're gonna have the for one, I heard the nutrition part at the HBCU for Dion. I'm not talking about all of them, just Dion in particular.
Yeah, I've heard Jackson State got a very good nutrition program.
Yeah.
But it's not like that everywhere. You know, so when we talk about the bigger picture of expanding it to like all the HBCUs. Again, we saw Howard. They were protesting dorm conditions. You know what I mean? Just last year or whatever it is. So, you know, talking about mold and stuff like that. Yeah. Just certain things you don't have to deal with at major universities. There are some challenges that they will face outside of living in, you know, Jackson, Mississippi. There are some challenges that they could possibly face, you know what I mean, in making a decision, which is why I think if Deion goes, I think they make a move with him.
But. Yeah, 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 that's true. Let's go to the next question.
How many moves do y'all think they'll make?
Coaching moves.
I mean, if they ain't made none yet. None? I mean, at the end of the day, like, I thought maybe Ron Dugas could go, but I don't know. At this point, none. I keep trying to find the one and like be like, but if they ain't left yet, I don't think they're going nowhere. So there you go, none.
I think we see one coaching move. I don't know when it's going to happen. I don't know how it's going to happen. I do think one coaching move.
You back to wishful thinking again. He back to wishful thinking, y'all.
I'm trying to do my best. They're clearly trying to make a move. They're trying. They're clearly trying to upgrade. So,
okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to stick with none.
I'm going to say one.
Again, if the furniture and Ron Dugas still got jobs, then.
I'm going to say one.
Well, listen. Keep hoping. Keep hope alive, brother.
Okay. This is the other question. Some folks think Deion is positioning himself, getting Hunter, etc., for the FSU job, assuming Mike is fired.
Yeah. Me. I'm some of those folks. It's me.
I don't think FSU would ever hire Deion Sanders, but I would take a hard look at it and really.
Hold on. What Terrence said is probably right though. Dugan's last day is January 31st. So if they wait for that and he hasn't gotten another contract, so it's possible. Wait for that contract to expire. I mean, but again, you can still like let him go, you know, with a day left on the contract and you just pay out, you know, 30 days or whatever, the 20 some days.
He got what you gonna pay out anyway.
Yeah, you go prorate the pay. I mean, okay. I mean, yeah. I guess I don't know. Maybe I'm missing it, but if his contract expires on the 31st, firing him on the 12th or the 9th, it ain't gonna, you know, I don't think it says anything differently, but whatever.
How do we get new names into the coaching world when the thing is recycle coaches all the time? I think that's the part that Deion and some of these former players are making a big point about is that y'all recycle coaches and y'all hire from within these coaches their trees instead of giving people that's actually played the game a shot. You know, I mean, it's tough, man, because it's like I remember Keenan McCardell, right? He was coaching at South Alabama, I think. Mm-hmm. And he was a wide receiver coach there. He had to coach there for like 3 years or something like that. Then he ended up going to the NFL, being a wide receiver coach in the NFL.
The Jaguars, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, but the only reason he got that job because he had a connection with Tom Coughlin, you know? Right. Him and Tom was cool. So I remember Tom like basically throw him on my own staff, you know what I'm saying?
Well, I mean, really what it's going to take, man, is the more I worked for a company. They had a thing called the African American Forum, right? And the reason why they did that was because they found that hiring trends indicate that white people hire other white people, black people hire other black people, Spanish people, women hire more women, et cetera, right?
Yeah.
So what they created was a group they created forums so that various people could get in positions of leadership. So, all right, if we get enough black managers, then that means we get more black supervisors, which means we get more black employees. Same thing for women, whatever it is, which made for a very diverse and equal company.
Right.
It's just kind of the same concept. You need more black head coaches to give more black wide receiver coaches options.
You need more black ADs to hire more black head coaches.
Exactly.
To hire more black assistant coaches.
Exactly. Yeah. That's what you need. So in other words, it starts, like you said, you're exactly right. It starts from that AD position. The AD is going to can hire a black coach, or is more likely to hire a black coach, which then, like you said, hires more assistants as well, which builds up all right, these opportunities or whatever it is. But until that changes, man. You know, it's kind of is what it is.
I think they need I just think that we need to start when we talk about these coaches, their resumes. I think their playing career needs to be a part of their resume. That's my opinion. I think they need to. I think what a player does on the field and the type of like I think I was talking to Wig about this when we were talking about Byron Leftwich, right? Mm-hmm. And I was like, what Byron Leftwich did for Pittsburgh as far as being a backup quarterback all those years. And the way he could help teach the wide receivers and the other quarterbacks and the running backs and the offensive linemen what to do, even as a backup quarterback, kind of like how Charlie Batch is where he's at right now, it's like that matters. So if you watch that guy in the film room and he's just a backup quarterback doing his job, that guy could end up being a good OC. Like Byron Leftwich is an OC at the Bucs.
Right.
That normally don't happen like that for him to go from playing to quality control guy. I mean, because Byron Leftwich has had like a really like a kind of fast rise for a black coach. He's kind of fast risen a little bit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But he's done that. But what he was doing as a player, watching him watch film, break down film, and if you've been around that guy, you say, man, you know, this guy really is into the nuts and bolts of how a football team should run. He probably would make a good coach. So that resume should matter. And what people say about him as a player should matter. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So yep. I just think we need to take all this stuff into consideration instead of dismissing it. You know what I'm saying? What's the next one we got here? Oh, we just answered that one. All right. Mike DeVore needs to learn how to coach guys that they say aren't culture fits. First of all, culture is just a way for people to say the kid don't want to come there. Culture fits is a way for people to say that kid ain't interested in coming there. I remember when they were talking about Jaleel Skinner, the way he acted on the visit was the reason why Florida State didn't take him. And I don't think that's
what he's talking about. I think he's talking about
– No, I know what he's talking about. I'm just making an example. Okay. And I told somebody, Jaleel Skinner never took Florida State serious. So he acted any kind of way he wanted to act. You think he was acting
like that? Because he was never coming here.
Because he was never coming here. You know what I'm saying? We get into a lot of different conversations about his cultural fit. Chad Johnson is a cultural fit anywhere he goes. You know what I'm saying? Like, T.O. is actually a cultural fit wherever he goes when he's producing. Randy Moss is a cultural fit wherever he goes, as long as he's producing. The idea that a guy doesn't fit, like, what does that mean? Like, there's 85 guys on a football scholarship, 85 guys on a team. You think all 85 of those guys get along and like each other? Like, it just doesn't.
Even more so, you think they all good guys?
Yeah. Like, I told somebody, like, why do y'all, what? Like, somebody was saying, well, Deion's a bad guy. I'm like, well, what makes Deion a bad guy and Nick Saban a great guy? What makes Jimbo a great guy? What makes this guy a bad guy? You don't know these people. You don't know none
of these even people. If they're all bad guys, give me some bad guys. Like, I want, you know what I mean? I don't want a roster full of choir boys. I don't want a roster full of good guys. Find me those guys who don't necessarily fit the culture. They just can play football. They don't give a damn about you or anybody else. They just play football and they enjoy it.
You don't think I want a wide receiver that tells me, just get me the damn ball, I'm going to make the play? I want that wide receiver to come over there and tell me that.
We watched a Georgia wide receiver shush the Michigan sideline, shush the dude in front of him, push him to the ground, and then went back and shushed him again. I don't care what culture he is or how he fits, get me some of them.
I'll tell you what.
I don't know how he fits Florida State's culture.
Go look at Peter Warwick in that 98 National Championship game against Tennessee when that quarterback we had could get him the football. And look at what type of tyrant he was on the sidelines.
He knew if you could get me the football, I'll get us to the win. Just if y'all can figure out a way to get me this football, I'm going to win it. Like, Tennessee can't really do much.
Yeah.
I just need a couple touches, and I'm gonna carry us across this finish line. Yeah, and they could never get him the touches.
Like Randy Moss, I remember they said Randy Moss came to the sideline and told Dante Kell Culpepper, because Culpepper was like, "Well, the read was." And Randy Moss said, "I don't give a shit what your read is. Throw the football.
Yeah, just throw the football." T.O. was a culture problem at every place he ever went to, and he still produced. He produced hurt. He produced sick. You know what I mean? Like, what you talking about? You know what I mean? Like, it didn't matter. Yeah, like, culture is just
an excuse for people to use when they can't win. I told somebody, they were talking about Jalen Ramsey had mushed some guy in the face mask on his teammate. They're like, well, see, that's the problem with Jalen Ramsey. I'm like, they are trying to win a championship in St. Louis. A championship. We got a lot of great guys in Jacksonville. They don't argue. They don't yell at each other. You never hear an outburst. Everybody is nice. They peaceful. They're having a great day.
They all say the right thing.
They all fighting. They warriors. Those motherfuckers have won 2 football games and have been blowed out of 9 of them. Get those friendly motherfuckers off the team.
Exactly. Find me a cornerback who will mush a safety for missing assignment. Find me that dude. You know what I mean? Because Jalen Ramsey is the best cornerback in the league. So find me the dude who will mush the other dude in the face because he ain't doing his job properly. Give me more of them.
A lot of people talking about culture. I'm like, what does that even mean? Like, do anybody even know what that means? What does that mean? What's the right culture fit? What is the right culture fit? I need a guy that want to work his ass off, that want to win, and that get tired of losing. Give me that.
Period.
All right. Expanding would be fun, but would we likely get the same small group of teams? Yeah, I said that we would.
Yeah, I said the same thing. I think
you'll get more Big Ten, because Big Ten was clearly the best conference this year in football, top to bottom. I think you get more Big Ten because they spend more money than anybody. You'll get more SEC because they spend more money than anybody.
And they'll give you a Power Five.
And you're sprinkling a little Clemson and a little Florida State. They got their stuff together. You're sprinkling in USC, maybe Oregon when they got their stuff together.
Yep. And that's it.
The Big 12 is basically going to be like a lower. Well, Cincinnati is going to be over there. Maybe Cincinnati can keep it up. But, I mean, what's the likelihood of that? You know what I'm saying? Like, college football is all about the haves and the have-nots, man. That's all it's about. Then it's always going to be like that until something drastically changes.
Yeah, who's willing to spend? Yeah,
I think the biggest thing college football got to do, they got to get a commissioner, man. They got to level off. They got to salary cap these coaches. They got to make a off season for free agency as far as the portal.
Portal. Yeah.
They got to have a time for the portal to be open and a time for the portal to be closed. They can't.
Yeah, you got to regulate like free agency. Yeah, at this point, you have to treat it as if free agency, because that's what it is. Essentially, it's free agency. This is like, you're going to have to create the same rules that you had, no contact period, so on and so forth.
And
they need to tie
the NIL. They need to tie these NIL contracts to these schools to make kids stay at the school for at least 2 years or avoid the NIL contract after they leave. You know what I'm saying? They need to find a way to tie NIL to college. I know that's tough, but they need to find a way to tie it to the colleges. You know what I'm saying? Because right now, it's just like, it's a free-for-all, dude. It's a mess. All this junk is just a big mess.
Yeah, there's no controls right now.
Because you got to think about it. Are kids even picking the best situation for themselves, or are they just picking for money? And I can't blame them for picking for money.
I don't even think they just even picking for money. I think, you know, one of the things when I saw Coleman go to Jackson State yesterday, one of the things I thought about wasn't even the fact that I don't even know if he want to go to Jackson State. I thought, no, for real. I thought it was more of cloudy. You know what I mean? Like kids, these kids that nowadays do shit for clout, right?
Yeah.
Like it's the popular thing to do, so I'm gonna do it now.
Right.
You know what I mean? And so, in my opinion, I think he said, "Look at the headlines Hunter made. I'm gonna do the same thing." It becomes like the thing to do at that trendy, at some point. Yeah. It's trendy. And so, you know, I look at it and I say, somebody has to get in control of some of this, so that way we can say, "All right, make sure these kids are making the best move for them, and it's not just I'm just hopping on the new hype train."
Right.
I just think you need somebody in control, because right now I think it's the Wild Wild West. But
yeah, it's the Wild Wild West, dude. And I mean, I don't mind it. They just need some structure. They need some rules. They just need, like I said, they need to find a way to tie this NIL, the money that's given to these colleges. They need to tie it together, because I think that'll make kids stay at that college.
And but it also make them make a better decision.
And it'll make them make a better decision. And I think that this is all, it's just like, if I'm a kid and Texas A&M going to give me $500,000, I go there for a year, develop for a year, especially if I'm a quarterback under Jimbo. I develop for a year, year and a half, 2 years, whatever. Put myself in a portal again, go to Pittsburgh somewhere and just go start. And now, you know what I'm saying? Like, so you just gotta find a way. And you gotta find a way. Cause I like it, I don't like it, but they gotta find a way to change some of this stuff, man. They need to just embrace what they are. College football need to embrace what it is.
Yeah. And it's professional. Embrace yourself as the minor league system. Forget this amateur. Forget the amateur. All that. No, that's not what it is. We know that. Embrace what it actually is.
Yeah. But I think the last question, well, that wasn't really a question. Statement, we prefer Briggs or Fuller opposite verse?
Oof. Fuller.
Do you? I think Briggs need to be in the inside. He's good in the inside.
That's what I was saying, which is why I think Fuller, leave Briggs where he's at. Fuller should be able to take a step up this season. We saw flashes of him last year, so let's hope he takes that next step.
Yeah. So that is all the questions. Hold on, we got another one.
That's not a question.
That's kind of funny, though.
Cover tripping. I ain't messing with Cover.
Yeah.
Listen, man. Before we sign out,
hold on. I got another question. Do you think selling naming rights to the stadium should be a part of finding additional NIL money? I've already said Florida State should sell the naming rights. They should have been done that. They should have done that
before the NIL was like when they were debating on where they was going. Man, put Amazon on the name of that screen. Get the money from Amazon. Disperse it however you want. You know what I mean? But disperse it however you want. NIL stadium, whatever it is. Throw Amazon on the name of it and tell Bezos to, you know, write the check. Like,
Yeah.
1,000% agree with that.
Yeah. Should have been done that. Man, this was a great show. It went way too long, but it's still awesome. But man, I appreciate you guys. Go ahead, Brian.
Yeah, man. I was gonna say just again, click the subscribe button. If you have not yet, click the subscribe button. If you're watching on Facebook Live, if you're watching on Twitter Live, are you watching just on YouTube and you have not hit the button, man. We appreciate y'all.
Yeah, man. So that will wrap up the show.
Hey, man, this is the Listen Up Podcast. We out.
You just heard the Listen Up Podcast. Serve crack.